Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for you are the reason for the season, Jesus. We've come to celebrate you. We've come to worship you. We've come to receive from you. And Lord, we want to be more like you in character and nature. And we ask you to, as we open our hearts and our minds today, let that word that comes from you, not from the ideas of man, but from you, come into our heart. And I thank you that it's being planted, it's being watered, it is being nurtured, it is growing, it is bringing change, it is producing fruit in every area of our lives. I speak over the lives of these people today, if this is the first time or if they're consistently coming. And I speak, Father God, that the greater days are ahead of them. The best is still ahead of them. No matter how good the past has been, tomorrow is going to be better and brighter. And I thank you that there will not be one area of their life untouched by your truth. For it's a truth that they know that brings freedom and liberty. I thank you, Father God, that they will flourish in every area because they are planted in the courts and the house of God. I thank you, Father God, that we'll not be satisfied with just one area flourishing, but we expect every area to flourish by the power of your word and your spirit. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Give me a better amen.
Amen.
Hey, wow, you guys are awesome in this first service. God bless you. Say, God with us.
God with us.
And the angel said to Joseph, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we know in challenges and times and crisis, and sometimes we don't always feel him. But because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's left you. In fact, sometimes he didn't leave you, you've left him. God said to Israel, show me the divorce papers where I've divorced you. Show me where I've let you go. I didn't leave you. You left me. It's like a good cup of coffee. Sometimes we'll set it down, get busy with stuff, and come back later and go, there's that cup. I remember that. And we go to pick up that cup, and it's no longer hot. It don't taste the way it should taste. Some of you like it that way, but that's okay. We're praying for you. But something's missing in the mix. And you know, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up with life, we'll set our relationship with the Lord, because it's a relationship, not a religion. And we'll set that relationship down and we'll forget about God until we have a crisis, until we have a big problem, until we're crying our eyes out because something didn't go our way. And now we're coming back to him. And if that's why you came back to him, at least you came back to him. But don't let that be the only reason you come to the Lord. Because what happens is you'll come back and start praying and think, wow, that prayer is not as hot as it used to be. It's not as powerful as it used to be. What's the matter? Well, we set them down and walked away. Wow. Hebrews, we saw last week, chapter 11, I believe verse 6, says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
And the reason we talked about that is because many people, first we got to come to God. James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You wait for God to do it all? No, sometimes you've got to step out and say, Lord, I need you. I'm just stepping. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to spend time and dedicate myself to reading the word. I'm going to spend time making sure I go to church on rainy days, snowy days, hot days, cold days, good days, cloudy days, sad days. Are you with me? It's an investment into your life. It's an investment. You got to learn to invest what you sow. You know, the scripture we talk about in the church world a lot, and usually pastors talk about it when it comes to offering time. What you sow, you shall. But you read the context, and your giving financially is a part of that. It's a small part. If you read the context of that chapter, it's talking about you sowing or investing into your spirit person, your walk with God. What you invest, you're going to be drawing from. What you sow, you shall reap. You sow to the things of God, you're going to reap life. See, some of us just wait to a crisis and we come to God and our prayers are cold and things are hot and it's not full of flavor in life. Like we know that Jesus promised in Gospel of John chapter 10:10, a dynamic life, an abundant life. And we wonder why. It's because we're not pursuing him sometimes. We got to wake up and say, I need to start pursuing him again. And not just pursuing him, back to that Hebrews 11 verse, not just pursuing him because we're trying to get a reward. Yes, he's the rewarder. Yes, he wants to reward you. Yes, he wants to bless you. Yes, he wants to heal you. Yes, Jesus said it's the desire of your Father to give you the kingdom. That means all that is within the throne or the rule or the reign of your Heavenly Father, which means all the good stuff he has in charge. And it's your pleasure of your Heavenly Father to give you all that. But you know what we do? We take that first part out of the verse, and we'll draw near to God for the reward. But the best way in the equation to keep it real is pursue him for him. Yeah. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Amen. We got to keep first things first. Right. When we keep and say, Lord, I'm coming to worship you. Yeah. See, that's what worship's about. Praise is about what he's done. Yeah. Worship is about who he is. Yeah. David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. And God gave him the kingdom. God took a little shepherd that was not qualified, who had not been in the military, and not only defeated a giant, but put him and made him king. Yep. All right. A guy who even the giant laughed at. A guy that even his brothers mocked and laughed at. A guy that was so, from the world's perspective, so insignificant, his own father didn't invite him to the party. When the prophet showed up. But God said, you look to the outside, Prophet Samuel. I look to the heart. And he's a man after my own heart. He's got the right heart. He's got the right attitude. He loves me for me, just not for the stuff. And he so pursues me in worship, I'm going to promote him. Oh, I'll tell you what, we work so hard to be promoted in life. And many times we come to God and thank him for the little promotions that we achieved out of our over sweat and effort. And you need to do something. Don't get me wrong. You have to work. Faith without works is dead. You have to put energy. You have to be disciplined. You have to be consistent. But many times we are overworking and under worshiping. Come on, somebody. I got to say that again. We'll overwork and under worship. We'll spend no time. I don't got time to worship God right now because we're overworking and we're working hard and getting few steps of advancement. And God said, listen, if you back up and keep it in balance, you know, a body's healthy when it's in balance. Did you hear me? You need certain vitamins in your body for it to be healthy. But if you overdose on some good vitamins, it's no longer. You got to learn to keep things in balance. So you need to work. But you got to also learn to take a step back and say, Lord, I'm coming to worship you. Not because I'm trying to get something from you. Not because you've even done something. Maybe it's the hardest season of your life. What a great opportunity to say, Father, I'm worshiping you because you are still good. And your mercy endures forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. For he is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But you don't know what I just lost last week. You don't know that what he's given you all that time. Hallelujah. He is still good. I'm telling you, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they begin to give thanks unto God. They were in confinement, and they begin to give thanks unto God. And even the prisoners in the next cell over heard them, and something happened when they begin to worship God. I'm telling you, when you begin to make God a priority and worship him, things begin to change. Things, you might not always see it overnight, but it'll literally start on the inside of you. You're like, man, I'm having a peace. There's a peace on the inside of me. Say, things are changing. Say, things are changing. I'm telling you, when you start making him a priority and begin to worship him, begin to focus on him, I tell you what do you think your Father God's going to do when you start bragging how he's your provider? You've been focusing on that lack. Start focusing on him as the provider. Do you think you're going to be in lack too much longer when you keep spending a lot of time worshiping God and thanking him that he is your provider? He'll begin to reveal himself as your Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, the shepherd of your soul, and that you shall not lack any good thing. You start spending scriptures and worshiping God, what his word says, on who he is, and watch things change. Did you hear me? You start worshiping God that he's your healer and watch things change. You start getting a perspective, and all of a sudden you'll wake up and say, wait a minute, didn't Jesus say? When that woman came for healing, he said, listen, the healing is bread for the children. It's bread for the children. If you're saved, then you're a child of God. That means healing is not an extracurricular activity. Healing is your bread. It's not a little extra thing, little add a cherry on top of something God's blessed you with. It is automatic, substantial, base number one, bread for the children. And when the devil starts creating pain, say, no, I don't receive that, because healing is bread from my heavenly Father. And watch things change. We wait too many times for God to change stuff. God's waiting for you to change the environment. He inhabits the praises of his people. You got to be a thermostat. Say, okay, I don't like the temperature in the room. I'm going to change it. Now, not everybody's going to like that temperature, but that's okay. I'm standing over there thinking, man, it's kind of cold in here this morning. You might be sitting there saying, it's kind of warm. I went to my niece's and nephew's Christmas play. They just had it, and it's at a Christian school. And I'm sitting there thinking, these people don't know how to run their AC. They got good message, but they don't know what to do. It's too hot in here. I looked over and said to somebody and said, they don't know how to run it like Hope Church runs it. That's all I can tell you. I'm telling you, when you can set the temperature of your house, when you're in charge to any temperature you like, and if you're the only one in your house and you don't like the temperature, then it's nobody's fault but yours. I wish somebody would come over and change my thermostat. Well, get off your chair, walk over, take that little finger of yours and begin to push some buttons and move some stuff. And you know what? And all of a sudden, when you do, guess what? If it's working, you're going to hear a noise. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever listen for that noise? I do. I hit that button and then I stop and I pause. And I'm waiting to hear the... You know what I'm saying? Nothing's changed in the room yet. It's still the temperature I don't like. But I hit the button, and I'm listening for the noise. And when I hear the noise, I know things are changing. Come on, somebody. You begin to worship God. Begin to listen for that noise. I know the Holy Spirit's moving because I just felt his presence. And the moment I sense his presence, I know it might not be perfect yet, but things are changing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. I haven't got to my first verse yet. I'm just warming up. This is good. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Say peace.
Peace.
Oh, I love the peace of God. I love the peace of God. How many times, do your own research. Don't take my word for it. Look how many times you see in the New Testament the phrase, grace and peace to you. We need peace, church. Peace is just not for the sinner. It's also for the saint. Because the enemy's still going to try to mess with you. We got to have the peace of God in our life. We need the peace of God. Peace doesn't mean that there's not storms. And peace doesn't mean that there's no battles. Some people think they're keeping peace and they're just dysfunctionally allowing the storm to stay there. I mean, you can think about it. It makes you wonder if the king back in the day and the soldiers back in the day, as they were hiding in their tents or in the foxholes, if they were thinking, if we stay here quiet long enough, maybe Goliath will go away. And peace doesn't mean that you don't have to go to war sometimes. Because there will be some giants you have to deal with. Yeah. There'll be some demons you got to say, no, you got to get out of here. Right. There's got to be some issues you got to say, wait a minute, that's a boundary I'm not comfortable with. We need to re-articulate the boundaries of our relationship. Come on, somebody. And say it any way you want. You might be take two steps back and shut your mouth. It's up to you. But there's sometimes we got to communicate.
Right.
Peace doesn't mean everything's okay.
Right.
Peace doesn't mean you agree with everything.
Right.
Peace doesn't mean everybody gets along.
Come on.
That's a shocker. Can't we just keep peace? Yeah, but that's not how you keep peace, is keeping everybody. Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. That's not always the right way to keep peace. That's allowing the enemy. That's like someone breaking in. Oh, can't we just be peaceful? No, you got to get him out. And reestablish peace in your home. Sometimes you got to kick some stuff out. Sometimes you got to deal with some mindsets and some attitudes. And come on, and just because it's said doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's done doesn't mean you have to tolerate it. There's some stuff that we can deal with and to get it out so that we can reestablish peace, the peace of God. And you can be in a storm and have peace. I mean, just look in the New Testament. Peter's in jail. The saints are praying. Prayers answered. An angel shows up in prison. That's an angel sound, right? Because real bright light. He's got wings. Now, I'm a light sleeper. I mean, if somebody walks in the room while I'm asleep, I wake up. I don't know if it was just it's something DNA or if it's the fact that I had an older brother and a father who used to, like, wake me up by jumping on top of me. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? When you're a kid, you grow up, and it's kind of like they think in their mind, they're up, you should be up too, and they'll come flying in the air and bang, just nail you, wake you up, and you're deep sleep, and now someone's on top of you, hitting you. You know what I mean? You wake up quick. So I don't know what is the cause of that, but I wake up early. And I wake up, and I'm a light sleeper. So if somebody walks in the room, I'm up. Peter has an angel in his room, in prison, and the man's sleeping. Yeah. He's sleeping so soundly that the Bible says that the angels got to smack him to wake him up. Now, if you're in the middle of a problem and you're sleeping that deeply, that the angel has to smack you to wake you up to get you out of there. How many people know that Peter must have been in some level of peace?
Come on.
Because if he was stressed out, what would be happening? I can't sleep. I'm all stressed out. He'd be saying, Lord, when are you going to do something to Jesus? Come on. It's 3 a.m. and I haven't slept a wink in 2 days. He is sleeping soundly. Say the peace of God. Say the peace of God. One of the benefits of God with us is his peace. One of the benefits of God with you is his peace. That don't mean you deal with storms. Even Jesus, when they went across the boat, in the boat to the other side, had a storm. But when they woke him up, he didn't say, let's redirect. He rebuked the wind and spoke peace to the water. Why? Because he had peace on the inside. He had peace on the inside. See, I'm a firm believer that when the devil tries stuff, and he's going to try stuff. And if it rattles your cage, guess what? He's going to try it again. And if it rattles your cage again, guess what? He'll try it again. And if we all know those buttons that we have in our own life. It might be a situation. It might be a phrase. It might be a certain person. It might be a tone that they said, come on somebody, and all of a sudden they might not mean anything, but just the way they said it, and it might remind you of somebody way back in the day who said something that hurts your feelings, and all of a sudden you go into a whole different mode. What do you mean by that? All I said was good morning. See, if the devil can use something to rattle your cage, he'll keep rattling your cage. But there's a place you can grow into. Hallelujah. It's a fruit, a result of the Holy Spirit working in your life. There's a place that you can grow into that all of a sudden the things that used to rattle your cage don't even catch your attention anymore. Sometimes you notice it. Sometimes you won't even notice it. Sometimes you'll notice it and you're like, wow. There's been times in my life and I've seen this develop and I'm still growing. We're all still growing. But I'm just telling you, out of my own experience, there's things that used to rattle my cage, and all of a sudden, the Lord started doing a work on the inside, and it would happen again. And I remember the day standing there and having such a sense of peace on the inside and thinking to myself, wow, before, that would really hurt my feelings, or that would offend me, or that would make me angry, or that would cause me to react. And for some reason now, it's not. See, we have a lot of what I would call self-help groups in the church world. We try to do it ourselves to be a better person. You better be careful. You're getting on my patience here. About to run out. No, your patience doesn't run out. You're just giving them a warning before you come down on their head, right? What happens a lot of times, we try to hang on to all this stuff, but I'm telling you, there's a place where you're not hanging on to peace. Peace is hanging on to you.
Amen.
Peace is hanging on to you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, where you would normally be rattled, you're not rattled anymore.
Right.
You're not nervous anymore. Yeah. You're not upset anymore. You're not offended anymore. Every time I go to church, I get offended. Well, I don't know anybody who is that way, but if you've ever been that way, let me help you out. Maybe it's not all the people. Because John 2, people are people. But if everybody offends you, maybe it's not everybody. Maybe you're too thin-skinned when it comes to people. See, we need to be thin-skinned when it comes to the presence of God. And thick skin when it comes to people,
right.
So that I can love you even if you're not being lovable.
Right.
That if you're going to be my enemy, I'm still going to pray for you. I might not like it emotionally, but I'm doing it out of obedience. And all of a sudden, I'm not. Why should I allow someone who don't like me to dictate my day?
Come on.
Yeah, but why should I allow someone who doesn't have my best interest at heart to dictate how I feel today? How should I feel? Here, fill out the piece of paper and give it back to me. Okay, I should feel that way. You don't like me, so I'll go ahead and follow your instructions. Really? Don't you? Usually if someone doesn't like you and really is not trying to help you, don't you want to turn your back on them from the context of, I'm not allowing you to direct me today because you really don't care about me. And so if I care about me, then I'm going to take you off the voting list of how I should feel today. You should have a vote. Say, you shouldn't have a vote.
Have a vote.
It's amazing how we give people that we don't even like, that don't like us, a vote of how we should feel today.
Yeah.
But they said, well, of course, that's what they're going to do.
Right.
It's like, don't be angry. You know, it's like a, think of it this way. Hurt people hurt people.
Right.
I don't know who I'm talking to, but just listen to me for next minute. If a bird has a broken wing and doesn't fly right, don't get angry with the bird. It's just broken. Now, it's not right that it can't fly right, but it needs help. When people are broken, when they're hurt, they're going to be mean. It's not right that they're mean to you. You can help them or let somebody else help them, but keep in mind the reason they're doing that, there's something on the inside of them that's broken. Have a bigger picture instead of internalize. Say, why'd they do that to me? They're not really doing it to you. They're doing it to a lot of people. When you start when you begin to see below the surface, you'll begin to see stuff that the enemy don't want you to be aware of, because Jesus could look at the people that the religious said wrong and said, I'm going to forgive you. He looked at a woman who was a prostitute and said, don't sin anymore. I'm not going to judge you. You're forgiven. Don't sin anymore. Well, she was sinning. But he saw something a lot deeper.
Yeah.
But he looked at the religious and said, you guys are acting the part, but you're not living the part.
Right.
You can see below the surface.
Right.
We need to learn to see below the surface. And many times we don't, because we react to the first impulse of the event.
Yes.
And when we become emotionally reacting and interacting in the problem, do you know what? We become a part of the problem,
right,
and not a part of the solution. But if you learn to stay calm and can have the peace of God, you know what? You'll begin to see stuff a little better.
Yeah.
That child throws a temper tantrum. You don't freak out too. You can wait them out. Because you know there's something they need to learn.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a victim or keep yourself in a victim situation, but you also don't have to overreact. You can have the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, the devil's like, why aren't you reacting? Why is your cage being rattled? Because I'm not here to be the victim. I'm not here to give you control, devil. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to keep the peace of God, and I'm going to see the way God sees it. And you know what? At the end of this, I'm going to come out ahead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let me give you one more scripture. Are you with me this morning?
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy our talks. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee.
Yeah.
I want to keep this verse up for the rest of the time. We We can. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, there's a peace that exceeds your understanding, the New Testament says. Do you know what a peace is that exceeds your understanding? That means a peace that you can't figure out. Do you know when you have a peace that you can't figure out? You have a peace that you can't figure out when something is going on around you that normally rattles your cage but doesn't rattle your cage anymore. You now have a peace that blows your mind. Notice this, thou will keep him. This is the Old Testament, which means we come out of the context of the Hebrew language. If you go back to the original text, here's how you can break this down. And I love this verse, one of my favorite verses. Thou will keep him. The word keep there, if you're taking notes, is to keep, sustain, or protect. Yeah. To keep, say keep, sustain. See, I like that. When you do it your way, you got to keep sustaining it. You got yourself up there on that ladder. You've climbed the corporate ladder. You've climbed the success ladder. And you've got yourself done out of your own efforts. And there's people who do that. And that's one way of doing it. But when you get yourself up there, now you have to keep yourself up there. Right. Let me just bring into a position that some of us can relate to. When you lose weight, it's one thing to lose the weight. How many people know it's harder to keep? Come on. Something about you losing that weight makes me want to go celebrate. I go to the buffet and I just messed it all up again. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've hit my goal. What do we do? Let's go get ice cream. Because it's one thing to get it off. It's another thing to. It's one thing to get to the top. It's another thing to stay at the top. Because that's a weight you have to carry unless God's doing it with you. And when God does, he gives you a grace. He will keep, he will sustain. Say sustain.
Sustain.
That means he'll keep you where you're at. Amen. But what if someone tries to take it? Don't worry, God's got me covered. Amen. He will keep, he will sustain, he will protect. Yes. Your mind, body, and estate. Yes. That's what it, go look in the original text. He will keep, sustain, and protect your mind. Hallelujah. Your body, praise the Lord. And your state, that means all your possessions. Everything that belongs to you, that he's given, all that stuff. He will keep, sustain, and protect your mind, your body, and your state in perfect harmony, balance, and peace. Think about that. In perfect harmony, balance, and peace. I'm telling you what God says. I'm not telling you what you can do. See, if I only tell you what you can achieve, I'm not telling you the truth of God's word, because God's word, it will have me tell you stuff that from the natural mind, your carnal mind will say that's impossible. That's why God likes blowing the carnal mind, the natural man away. Because it seems impossible, seems foolish. There's no way. God says there's no way with you, but watch what I can do. Come on, somebody. He will keep, sustain, protect your mind, your body, and your estate in perfect harmony, balance, and peace. That's a rest. Notice, whose mind, whose purpose is a better way of saying that. Whose purpose, whose priority in life. See, if your goal's all just for you and Jesus is just one of the tools to get you what you want, that he's not number one. When he's number one, when your life's all about you, Jesus, that doesn't mean you got to pray every 10 seconds. Doesn't mean you got to witness to every person you run into. But your life's decisions are dictated not by how you feel, not how you see it, but what God shows you from his word. Not everybody's going to get that. And you don't want to tell everybody that. Because you start talking that way to your neighbors, they might think you're crazy. That's okay. The Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine, because it's not going to make sense to them. But you know that you have the peace of God directed you. The Bible says in the Living Translation, let the peace of God be an umpire to your soul, settling with finalities all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. There's a peace that God has for you. He is keeping, sustaining, protecting your mind, body, and state in perfect harmony, balance, peace, because your purpose, your priorities, your life's direction is set on him, which means you're trusting in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All your ways, decisions, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Yeah. There is a peace. There is a peace. He is the Prince of Peace. There is a peace coming into your home today in the name of Jesus. There's a peace coming into your relationship today in the name. There's a peace of God that's coming into your emotions and your mind and your heart today in the name of Jesus. There's a peace that exceeds your understanding, and it's not only comforting you, it's equipping you, it's strengthening you, it's holding you, it's sustaining you, it's keeping you on track, it's keeping you balanced, it's keeping you from being rattled. It's the peace of God. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.